Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Was so much owed by so many to so few.
Group Captain Retired, John Paddy Hemingway, the last known Battle for France and Battle of Britain pilot, celebrated his 103rd birthday in May of this year. In Casement Aerodrome this Friday, John was reunited with a Hurricane aircraft, the same type he flew in World War II. On its arrival, the Hurricane stopped and powered up its engine again so the wartime pilot could see, hear and smell what he called his office throughout World War II. The Irish Air Corps celebrated a special centenary Veterans Day in Casement Aerodrome Baldonnell. As part of the event, the Royal Air Force Battle of Britain Memorial Flight, accompanied by the Irish Aerobatic Display Team, the Silver Swallows, flew in formation across Dublin City and landed at Casement. As we've mentioned, the guest for the event is a proud Irishman, Group Captain Retired John Paddy Hemingway, DFC, a Battle of Britain pilot who flew with distinction during World War II. Paddy joined the RAF on a short service commission on the 7th of March 1938, gaining the rank of pilot officer a year later. Following the outbreak of World War II, he was assigned to 85 Squadron in France, recorded as destroying a Heinkel 111 on the 10th of May. The following day, he destroyed a Dornier 17, a twin-engine light bomber, and was forced to make a landing near Maastricht after his plane was damaged. During the Battle of Dunkirk, he flew supporting missions over the English Channel. Paddy initially served in England with 253 Squadron before returning to 85 Squadron on the 15th of June that year. And on the 1st of July 1941, he was awarded the Distinguished Flying Cross. He was shot down again over Eastchurch on the 26th of August, making him 85 Squadron's first official combat victim over Britain. General Officer commanding the Irish Air Corps, Brigadier General Rory O'Connor, told me more.
Yeah, truly iconic day for us, I suppose. We knew it would be sort of a busy day, being our Veterans Day, part of our centenary celebrations. We knew the Battle of Britain Memorial Flight was coming in. The RAF were supporting us for the weekend. And then, of course, Group Captain Hemingway coming in as well. But when you put them all together, It was a truly spectacular day today.
Really hard to capture the impact that man had on the gathered group here. He absolutely mesmerised people.
He did, yes. He was engaging. His son had his logbook here, going back from the Battle of Britain and that as well. And he got fantastic reception here as he was brought out. And you could see it was an emotional day, I think, for a lot of people here, just to see 80 aircraft, such iconic aircraft, Lancaster Hurricane coming in. But for him, having flown the Hurricane during the Battle of Britain as well, it was a truly spectacular moment.
The other thing, of course, is you've been surrounded by veterans all day.
Yes, a lot of people that probably haven't graced our borders here in quite a while. And the whole idea was to allow them the opportunity during the year to come back and establish old relationships, meet up. I've met a few people that I haven't seen in about 30 years nearly at this stage. And that's the whole, I suppose, idea of having a Veterans Day. We have a huge history here in Baldonnel and in aviation in Ireland. Baldonnel, I would say, is the spiritual home of aviation in Ireland. And we always seem to have a good, group of veterans who come back and support us. So this presents them with the opportunity. The weather was great. Aircrafts, PC-9's information, the Swallows information with the Battle of Britain flight, it just was fantastic.
It's hard to believe it's over a year since we chatted to you last in Birr, and you were really enthusiastic and looking forward to this year. It's folding out very well for you.
Yes, I suppose been lucky with the weather. So if you go back to the 23rd of March when we had our centenary day, the 3rd of May when we had celebrating the takeover of the camp, and today as well, it's brilliant. We just need about two more days, I suppose. I know it's due to get a bit darker and murkier tomorrow, but hopefully now the skies will brighten up then for Bray on Sunday.
Well, as the crew from the Battle of Britain Memorial Flight left their Lancaster, I got a chance to talk with the crew and officer commanding the BBFM, Squadron Leader Mark Sugden. Welcome to Ireland.
Well, thank you for having us and thank you for ordering the weather.
It's done on purpose, especially. The purpose of your visit, of course, this weekend is marking 100 years of the Irish Air Corps and an air show on Sunday.
It is, and so many firsts, I think. So we were talking earlier, we've been here, we said, I don't know whether we've ever flown in formation with the Silver Swallows before to fly over the Liffey in Dublin. A lot of firsts, and for me to meet a Battle of Britain veteran, it's been a super special day to be here. It's, like I say, humbling to meet the people that we commemorate, the veterans, and to be here to be part of the centenary celebrations as well. It's incredible for us.
And you brought two superb aircraft.
We have. So we've bought a Hurricane, which certainly for Paddy, that was, I think somebody told me, maybe 50 years since he's last seen a Hurricane. And she's the last Hurricane ever made. So the last of the many, very, very special. And the jewel in our crown, the Avro Lancaster. So one of two flying in the world, and incredible to bring her here to show to you all.
You mentioned Paddy, a fantastic story.
Absolutely incredible. And, you know, I think the stories that that he can tell, it's an inspiration to all of us today. It's just as relevant now as it was some 80 years ago plus. An incredible honour to meet heroes like Paddy and to be the last known surviving Battle of Britain veteran. It's one of those things that I don't think I'll ever forget. Well, I won't forget.
Introduce me to some of the gang here. Are any of them non-talkers?
No, we're all talkers.
Oh, yeah,
so I hope you brought your pyjamas, because once you get us going, we'll not stop. So we've got Seb Davey, who is, by day, he's a A400 pilot. He's the most experienced bomber pilot we have, and he's my bomber leader. So a very experienced Lancaster pilot and an instructor. We have Chris Fairley, who is a first year as a Lancaster co-pilot, but a Dakota captain, and Rich Hartley, who's a navigator on the bomber team as well.
The flight over today, how was it?
It was, I'll say, a story of two halves. So the weather was nice where we got airborne, and it was lovely here. The middle was quite challenging. So I think we probably gave ourselves 50-50 as to whether we'd make it here today. They're old aeroplanes. We can't fly in cloud. We can't fly in rain. Obviously, you know, we're here to preserve them and look after them. We don't take chances with weather. So it was certainly marginal in the middle. But it was good enough for us to get through safely, and luckily we're here.
Seb, tell me about, you're flying that aircraft, what's it like?
Well, it's a huge honour to be able to follow in the footsteps of those that were my heroes when I was growing up, and the sacrifices that Bomber Command went through during the 1940s are self-evident from the numbers of those that were lost, and to be able to help some way to commemorate those lives that were lost in the 1940s is a huge honour for me and all of the crew that operate the Lancaster.
What are we in store for on Sunday?
Well, hopefully, should the weather allow it, because they're old aircraft and they're very sensitive to fluctuating weather conditions. But hopefully, we're in for a display at Bray of the Lancaster. And most people say that one of the more impressive aspects of the Lancaster is the noise that she makes. So it's not only the visual, it's the oral as well.
Which, to be fair, our listeners have already heard just before we've had this conversation with you. It was a really dramatic sound as you arrived.
Well, she does make a fantastic noise. Those four Merlins flying in extremely close formation are fantastic.
Paul McDermott is leader of the Irish Air Corps Silver Swallows. Paul McDermott, it is a really amazing day here today, part of the fact that it's also Veterans Day.
Yeah, so it's a big day for us here. To echo the words of the BBMF guys, they spoke about commemorating. For us, this is our centenary event. So commemorating the last 100 years of the Irish Air Corps, the people who made the Irish Air Corps, and the people presently serving in the Irish Air Corps.
And you're just back from Riyadh, which was a terrific event for you.
Yeah, big honour for us, for the team, to go across 25 years after the team were last across. Different aeroplane this time, but still as much of a buzz, I feel. I wasn't around the organisation 25 years ago, but certainly a really big deal personally for me, for the three guys here, and for the Air Corps, and for Ireland, to put Irish military aviation back on the map again.
Who have you got here with you?
So the number two position this year is flown by OC FTS Commandant Edward Snowden. Number three this year is flown by Lieutenant Niall Dungan, QFI in FTS. And number four, Captain James Northover, another qualified flying instructor and the chief ground instructor in the flying training school.
And what's the criteria to find yourself flying for the Silver Swallows?
Well, I guess, like any display team, it was in Ireland specifically, the aeroplane that we use is part of the flying training school. So first and foremost, you need to be a member of the staff and flying the aeroplane. But secondly, I would say we're a small bunch and group of people, but certainly looking at ourselves and looking around any other team, a good personality in terms of being able to work together as a team, being able to be flexible, and then I guess flying the aeroplane and piloting to the highest possible standard that you can.
There's a legacy, though, to the name Silver Swallows, isn't there?
There sure is, and it's something that we were a little bit worried about taking on, but still very happy to take on. It was a team that was synonymous with one type of aeroplane here, the Fuga Magister, and when that aircraft retired, effectively the team also, the team name certainly retired. The aircraft was replaced eventually by the PC-9, and we, our former instructors in the flying training school, worked up to a display team of which we became part of, and it was decided then, thankfully, that for the centenary year we would go back to that famous brand and name.
Edward, can I bring you in as well in the conversation? You had the experience today of liaising with the Lancaster and the Hurricane on the way in.
Yes, indeed. It was amazing. It was really good. As I was saying earlier on, sometimes I had to pinch myself. Yeah. You know, when I saw this big aircraft, four engines in front of us, and of course the Hurricane then tucked in behind it. Real privilege, and it's not something that happens to everyone, and it's certainly probably not something that's going to happen again, so I really, really enjoyed it.
It was particularly interesting for me as I walked out. Not only did I see a group of pilots in a circle, and how you know they're pilots because they were all doing the hand movers, but it was also from the two different countries as well.
Yeah, we have a great relationship with the our colleagues in the RAF, and obviously they're very close to us here geographically. We do meet them quite a lot. For example, as you mentioned earlier on, the Riyadh, the Royal International Air Tattoo last weekend, obviously we met the guys from the Battle of Britain Memorial. And even for this flight to happen today, we've had numerous amount of meetings to make it happen physically and via phone.
Now, can I have a chat with you as well? Number three, what happens for you in formation? Where are you and what are you doing?
So I guess my job is relatively straightforward, and that I just have to keep my eyes on the lead, on Paul, and stay there. You know, we've got our indications that we're holding the right position, and I suppose today beyond that we had quite a nice view of some other aircraft, which I managed to catch a glimpse of a few times.
And in terms of what we're going to see on Sunday, can you tell us anything about it, or are you keeping some things a secret? I heard there might be something new.
I think we've got a couple of things in surprise for Sunday, but absolutely, hopefully should see more of the same of the display that we performed at Riyadh. So close formation aerobatics, formation opposition passes, rejoins and smoke, yes.
Yeah, exactly. And from a point of view of people who are on the ground, you know, James, position 4-3-2-1, how does that actually work? How do we recognise you guys from the ground?
Well, Paul will almost always be at the front of the formation, so he's leading. Then Commandant Snowden's would always be on the right-hand side of the formation. Niall's always on the left. Number four will always slot in. So the most common formation that you'll see is box formation, which is like a diamond. We do some formation changes. So Commandant Snowden and Niall as two and three will pull back behind me as number four, and that will be a formation change to Swan. So that makes up the majority of our formation changes throughout the display.
Now, we won't necessarily be able to hear it on the ground, but you're giving commands, or there are commands being followed from the lead, aren't there?
Yeah, so Paul will give most of his turning calls, his climbing calls, and that allows 2, 3 and 4 to try and anticipate. So we're primarily just looking straight at our references, but with Paul's and his voice, the cadence of it, you get used to how quickly he pulls up and then how rapid he rolls the aircraft, and we try and match that to keep the formation tight and looking good from the ground as well.
Edward, how does your pilot control speed at that particular case? Are you looking in, looking out? And because you're obviously trying to formate very, very tightly.
Yes, so it's rarely that we'd look inside the cockpit, only when necessary, checking some of our instruments and our engine parameters. But primarily outside most of the time, 95% of the time maybe, and that's speed or proximity to the aircraft is controlled by the throttle, or else using the ailerons, basically, as we move the aircraft laterally towards the aircraft.
And what's your tip for any pilots who are listening to us when it comes to, well, you know, not really enjoying the stomach feeling when you find yourself in a roll or a loop? Is that something you just get used to?
When you start pilot training, that's something that's introduced, a gradual process. So you don't just go up there and do loads of aerobatics. It's introduced at a very gradual rate. So it's not something to be afraid of, and it's all very controlled and introduced in a gradual manner.
Finally, who's got the numbers? Because people are often curious about the aeroplane. You know, things like speeds.
Well, I suppose top speed of the PC9 is 320 knots, which equates to about 590 kilometres an hour. Our service ceiling is 25,000 feet. In terms of positive G, we can go up to 7G. Negative G, -3.5.
Finally, Edward, after Bray, what's next?
So next up after Bray is the Burr Air Show.
On the bank holiday weekend.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so we're looking forward to that and looking forward to a few days break between Bray and Burr.
Well, hopefully the skies will be clear for us and we'll see you at Bray.
Fingers crossed.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.